Morning, Talmidim. I want to bring out 2 points. One from this week's Parsha, but first we'll go to last week's Parsha. 2 quick points. And then I want to come back to last week's Cybertruck, if possible. So I want to start off with last week's Parsha. The Pasuk tells us when Yaakov was reaching the peak of Simcha to the extent that his name went back to Yisrael, when he was notified that Oid Yosef Chai, that Yosef is alive, and Yosef is a Melech in Mitzrayim, and Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avihem, literally there was a Tchias HaMesim. Chazal tell us that during the 22 years that Yosef HaTzadik was missing, from Yaakov, the Ruach HaKodesh wasn't Shailet. There wasn't complete Simcha. Yaakov was mourning the loss of Yosef HaTzadik. And when someone is in mourning and someone is lacking simcha, Ruach HaKodesh can't connect. So finally now, we're standing at the moment that Yaakov is notified that Yosef is still alive. He became alive again. And from now on, the Pasuk calls him Yisrael. Vayom Yisrael Rav, Oy Yosef Lichai, El Chaverenu, let me go see him, Beterem Amos, before I pass away. It was such a simcha, it was such a what? He's still alive? I must go see him. Just imagine that moment of happiness. Happiness because he knows Yosef is still alive. Happiness because Ruach HaKodesh started coming back to him. The feeling that he felt. It's hard to describe such a feeling. So what happens as soon as he has that feeling and he says, I have to go see Yosef? So the Pasuk tells us, Vayisai Yisrael v'chal ha'shaloi, Yisrael packed up everything that he had, and he's going to Mitzrayim. And the next few words in the Pasuk, Vayavoi be'er shava, he went to be'er shava. 1 second, Yosef HaTzadik, Yaakov Avinu is going to see Yosef HaTzadik, he's still alive, I want to go see him before, Beterem Amos, and he's going to Mitzrayim, and the Pasuk tells us, he came to be'er shava. It continues. So the Medrash Rabbah asks a question. What was that stop in Be'er Shova for? You're going to Mitzrayim. It's not telling us that he just happened to stop to sleep overnight, because there were many places that he stopped. So if the Pasuk is telling us that he went to Be'er Shova, there must have been a very good reason why he stopped in Be'er Shova, that the Pasuk has to tell us. You should know he went to Be'er Shova. Zokta Medrash, let me tell you what Yaakov Avinu did in Be'er Shova. Yaakov Avinu went out to the wilderness over there, to the field, to the place where his grandfather, Avraham Avinu, planted arozim. Vayita Eshel, Avraham Avinu planted arozim, an erez, many arozim. An erez is a cedar tree in English. In Yiddish, it's a tenenbaum. He went and he planted these trees, tall, beautiful, strong trees. What was the purpose of Avram planting these trees? Avram Avinu understood when he was many, many years earlier, he understood that Klal Yisrael is going to go through a bitter galus, and after the bitter galus, they're going to build a Mishkan, and they're going to need this beautiful, tall, strong wood in order to keep together the Briach HaTichon, to keep together the Mishkan. So he went and he planted arozim in Be'er Shova. So now, when Yaakov Avinu is going down to Mitzrayim, and right after Mitzrayim, they're going to go into the Midbar, and in the Midbar, they're going to need to build a Mishkan. So Yaakov Avinu went to Be'er Shova to cut those trees to take it along with him down to Mitzrayim. Those trees weren't going to be used before 200 years later. Approximately 200 years later. Yaakov Avinu, at the peak of his simcha, his son, he's just notified, is alive. He's a melech in Mitzrayim. He wants to go see him. He's full, his heart is full with, I'm rushing to go see him. But 1 second, in about 200 years, Klal Yisrael is going to need the wood, the trees that Avraham Avinu, my grandfather, planted. Let me go cut them off and load them onto wagons. And the Medrash tells us about these trees. They were not simple to cut. They were not simple to carry, and he had to put them on how many wagons had to carry them. The Medrash, it's unbelievable how much time he spent for something that's only going to be needing to be used in 200 years for approximately 40 years in the Midbar, and then the first 14 years going into Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishkan wasn't going to last for a very, very long time. But Yaakov Avinu knew that Avram Avinu planted it. There must have been a good cheshbon for that. I'm going to cut it, and I'm going to take it with me down to Mitzrayim. It's beyond the human nature. Human nature is, you have such a simcha. It's the biggest simcha a person could imagine. We should never have to go through such a nisayon to reach that simcha. But it's even a bigger simcha than going to a chasana. And all that he can think of right now is, 1 second, I can't go see my son Yosef yet, because I first have to go cut down the arazim. I first have to go cut down those trees that are going to be needed for the Mishkan. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says a very beautiful pshat. Yaakov Netzki, the Chatzal Gerocha, says that when Klai Yisrael was in Mitzrayim, it was very bitter for them. They worked very, very hard. And Mamish, there was no light. They didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. They didn't see the Geulas coming. It was a tremendous pain. But Yaakov Avinu had these cedar trees laying around there that Klal Yisrael, while they were working hard, were always able to look at the cedar trees and say, 1 second, what are those for? And then they were able to say, Yaakov Avinu was able to tell and give over to his kids, these trees are going to be used. This gullus is going to be over soon. It's another few years. It's going to be over soon. And these trees are going to be used to build the Mishkan. These trees are going to be able to be used to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to be able to bring Kabbalah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Geula is coming soon. So these trees in Mitzrayim was a chizik, was giving chizik to Klal Yisrael. Don't think that this gullus is forever. Look at these trees that Avraham Avinu planted, that Yaakov Avinu went to cut down and bring them on his way down to see Yosef HaTzadik. They're stored here because you should know that they're going to be used to be building a Mishkan. So during the darkest times, they had that chizuk. They had that siman. Oh, the gullus is going to be over soon. We're going to be using those woods to build a Mishkan. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that was a cheshbon, one of the cheshbonis of Yaakov Avinu. He wanted to make sure that during the dark times, no one gets lost. Everyone is mechazik themselves, and they know that there's a gula coming. So when they look at those trees, they can get the chizuk, the gula is coming. I want to bring that into this base medrash. And again, it's a nekuda that I think it's important to speak about, even though it's only negeya to yechidah. But if we're quick to give compliments, we have to be quick to give some constructive criticism as well. You have Yaakov Avinu at a time of his strongest level of simcha, and he should have been running straight to see Yosef HaTzadik, but he knew that Klal Yisrael needs his help. They're going to need that chizik in Mitzrayim. I'm going to stop my own personal simcha to take care of Klal Yisrael, a vision, a global vision that he had for Klal Yisrael later on. We have a melech every day here in Beis Medrash. And after melech, we say a kapitel tehillah. The kapitel tehillah that we say every day after melech is for Klal Yisrael's needs. Klal Yisrael has needs. Whether it's Klal Yisrael and Yisrael, whether it's the people that are suffering over there, whether it's Yidden all around the world, Klal Yisrael needs our tefillahs. And after the kapitel tehillah, we say Achenu. Again, it's only applicable to Yechidim, and it didn't even start with the older grades. It started when younger grades came in, and also it started with Yechidim, and then unfortunately it trickled to some of the older grades as well. Sometimes in the middle of the kapitel tehillah, and some boys are already taking off the jacket, they're taking off the hat, and as soon as we start Achenu, they start charging out of the door already. Where are you running? Yaakov Avinu had where to run to. Yaakov Avinu was running to see his son that he didn't see for 22 years and thought he was dead all these years. And he said, no, let me not run there. Let me first take care of Klal Yisrael to make sure that Klal Yisrael is taken care of. I understand that everyone is excited about running to class to meet their teachers and to learn the subjects that are being taught. I understand. It's tremendous simcha to that. But for a second, wait. The tefillah of Achenu, we're davening for our brothers in Eretz Yisrael. We're davening for the brothers all over. Let's put our own simcha of running to the afternoon classes, running to the afternoon teachers. Let's put that own simcha aside for another few seconds. And let's wait till the Achenu is finished. Let's wait till we all answer Amen on the Achenu. And only then we can start taking off our hats and our jackets. Not that as soon as Aleinu is done, we're already halfway up. Where are we rushing to? Let's think about the needs of Klal Yisrael. That's our order number one. This week's parsha, we see Yaakov Avinu is going to bench Ephraim and Menashe, and against Amaisa, the right hand, the left hand, Ephraim, Menashe the Becharan. What was his whole... Why did he have to use his hands? You're going to give a bracha. You didn't want to embarrass because he's on the right side, he's on the left side. So give a bracha without using your hands. Just say, Yivarech Hashem, give the bracha without using hands. Like that, you minimize the embarrassment. You don't have to go be matriach and put your right hand or your left hand. So Rebbe Pavarsky and Shimon Panovich said that the Bris Gerov hardly ever shook people's hands. He didn't. His hands he kept himself, and he wouldn't even hardly shook other people's hands. And Rav Dessler, Zecharin of Roch, Mazba, he said, there's a simmer to it in this week's Pasha. In this week's Pasha, we see Taka that Yaakov could have very easily avoided the busha by just don't use your hands. Why did he have to use his hands that way? So Rav Dessler, the hands of a Yid is halik. It's extremely halik. Bracha comes through the hands of a Yid. When you give someone a bracha, you shake the hand and you give a bracha, then the bracha transmits from your hand to the next person. When the Kohanim Duchen, it goes through the hands. The bracha comes through the hands, Zecher Rav Dessler. So they pick up their hands, the Kohen picks up his hand, and while his hand is up in the air, that's the tzinar, the pipe, that the bracha goes from the Kohanim to the Tzibur. A Kohen that can't raise his hand can't duchen. Because if your hand is not functioning properly, then it can't duchen. If the hand is not a clear pipe in order to bring that bracha to another person, he can't duchen. To a big tzaddikim, besides a Bris Gerov, the taka didn't shake people's hands because of that reason. The hand is halik. And if my hand is halik, I'm not allowing my hand to touch things that may not be halik. The Karlsberg Gerov is known. He didn't shake people's hand. Only if he felt that he was a tzaddik on the highest level. The Rimna Tzereb is a tzaddik of bracha, did not touch other people unless he felt that the other person went to the mikveh that day. There was certain kedusha we were able to feel that came through the hands, and I'm not going to touch things because through my hands comes kedusha. I remember I was a little kid. I went to Belz Zechai there, Monsi. And Belz, the rabbeim were makbet, very makbet, that all the boys, it's called, would tattle. Tattle with the finger means that whenever you would learn, you would keep your fingers on the place and move your fingers as you say the pasuk, as you learn the Gemara. And the rabbeim were always makbet that all the boys should tattle. And if you didn't tattle, oy, 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 still hurts. But it was something that everyone was very makbet. And one of the rabbeim said over the story. He said, "Why know why we're so makbet the boy should tattle?" He said, "I'm not sure if he said it was Rav Shila Belz or the Sashulam, one of the Belz Rebbes." He was known that whenever you would see him, he was always with his sefer and he was always pointing his fingers to the words, and his hands never touched dvarim. That's not the kedusha. There was once a kid that was extremely, extremely sick, and they brought him to the Rebbe, to the Belz Rebbe, to say tefillah for him. The doctors all gave up and said there's nothing to do for this child. And this boy was brought to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe called him the child. And the Rebbe took his two fingers and swiped it across the child's forehead and said, "Come back to me in a month." Now, the doctors didn't give him a month to live anymore. So the parents were like almost laughing, "Come back in a month." The kid is... A month later, this kid came back to the Rebbe with his parents, with the new set of x-rays that they don't know what happened. The doctors are all, it doesn't make sense. The kid completely had such a complete refu shalem that it doesn't make sense. So the Rebbe said, "I thought so." So they're like, "Wow, the Rebbe is such a big bar moifus." The Rebbe says, "I'm not a bar moifus. This does not have to do anything with moifus. I'm not a magic maker. Let me tell you what happened. My two fingers only touch it touches the Gemara that I learn. It touches the Siddur that I daven in. It touches the Mishnayos, the Chumash. Whenever I learn, it's with my two fingers. So the only thing that these two fingers touch is Dvaram Shebekdusha. So if Dvaram Shebekdusha has the Koyach to heal anyone, it's not a Moifus. That's what Kedusha does. Kedusha has the ability to wipe away. You look at the Chashmonaim, right? How does that, the few family members were able to win a war over the Yevamim? It just doesn't make sense. But people that are by Kedusha, they have such power that it's a different, as we say, it's a different frequency. It doesn't work the same way. The hand of a Yid is by Kedusha. The hand of a Yid should only be used by Kedusha. We have to be careful with our hands. Many times, something, and we dealt with it just yesterday, many times it's something that starts with an innocent joke. An innocent joke is your friend is standing right next to you, and you tap him on the back this way, and you like you start shaking it, and then he looks around, who, and then he taps you back, and taps him back, and that turns into a fight. Yesterday we dealt with a case where Talmud was choked because of an innocent fight, the innocent joke that started because one boy tapped another boy in the back, and it escalated, and it escalated, and the kid went to the doctor, the doctors took pictures, and they have to report it to DCFS because it's marks on his chest. A nightmare that happened because one boy tapped another boy. These things happen quite often. And when we say no physical play, don't play physical games. This is one of the reasons why we say no physical play. Well, I'm having fun. It's a game. It's a game. Well, I'm schlepping the other. You're putting your touch. It's a game. Don't play these games because not good things come out of these games. We said this before. We'll say it again. Another person's body is muktzah to you. It's muktzah. It's not your toy. You want to shake his hand, a high five, something. Okay, we're not on the level yet of the Rebbe Tzirab, of Reb Chaim Brisker, of the Brisker Rav, of Rav Dessa. We're not on that level yet, so you want to give a handshake, you want to beseder. But be careful, nothing more than that. Because keep your hands, Bekedusha, and make sure you stay safe and the people around you play safe. And it's not okay, Rabbi Tenem, I'm saying no physical play. No. Whether I am there or I'm not there, don't play physical games for your safety. For your safety. And you see the koyach of the hands. Where Yaakov Avinu said, through the hands, the bracha comes through. Then we're going to make, yes, we're going to change around because that's where the bracha comes through. That's the tzina for bracha. Make sure your hands are such b'kedusha that only bracha will come out of your hands. And back to the Cybertruck. I found out another piece of information which I was missing. I couldn't understand why did a person choose a Cybertruck to blow up that hotel building as we spoke on Friday. Use one of these cars that are made out of whatever, the plastic cars, these cars. Yeah. Use that if you want to destroy. We saw the Cybertruck over here in the person tells me that how strong it is, how powerful it is. So if you want to destruct, you want to cause an act of terrorism, why use such a strong car, which only caused him, as we said, to rest in pieces? Why? What was the purpose? And then I heard another piece of information, which I wasn't aware of. And again, I didn't verify it, but it was a chelik of a conversation after Myriv. So I want to share that with you. The person that blew up that Cybertruck and tried to blow up the hotel, the hotel that he went to was owned by the Trump organization. It was a Trump hotel. The person wanted to give over a message. He wanted to give over a message to the world. He left a note and he said, this is not a terrorist attack. This is a wake-up call. That was the message that he wanted to give over. This is a wake-up call. So what's the wake-up call that he wanted to give over? The wake-up call was that there's now a new president that's coming into the United States of America. His name is Trump. And he has a very good friend who's also a very powerful person. And his friend's name is Mr. Elon Musk. If these two powerful people come together, then we're doomed. Because they're going to control the world. They're the most powerful people. They're going to control the world. Wake up, America! So he went to put himself to sleep in order to wake up America. He used that car, Mr. Musk, and his friend Trump's hotel to wake up America. That is, these two powerful people getting to control America's doom. Raboisai. I don't know what power Trump has. I don't know what power Musk has. We do know that they're accomplished people. I mean, again, they build things and they... They came up with an ideas, innovative ideas, and they worked on their ideas. They're innovative people. We know that they've done things. They made a lot of noise in the world. But we know one thing for sure. We know one thing for sure. That when Klal Yisrael gets together with the most powerful nation in the world, when there's Achdus and Klal Yisrael, and when we get together and we say that we are going to work towards a certain goal, no one has shlit over Klal Yisrael. Yisrael Kedoshim. The frequency that a Yid can use, the Kedusha that a Yid can use, you can have a few Chashmonaim and overpower an entire country, an entire nation. So when we say a Kapitel Tehillim right after Mincha, and we say Achenu right afterwards, and we gather together, we say it together with Kavanah to have in mind Klal Yisrael, you know how much power that brings? If that person that went to sleep in order to wake us up wanted to give over a message that these two individuals have tremendous power, we know the power that a Yid really has. We know the power of our tefillah. We know the power of our tehillim. We know the power of our achenu. That we're going to say every word of it, and we're going to wait till the tefillah says, finishes, so we can say amen. And then we can go continue making a kiddushim shemayim in our afternoon classes. Let's remember the power of a Yid. Let's remember the Kedusha of our hands. The Kedusha comes through our hands. Let's keep it the Kedusha. Let's be careful what we touch and how we use our hands. And ultimately, let's remember that during our times of Simcha, during our time of something good is happening, we have to remember what Klal Yisrael's needs are. Let's think of Klal Yisrael. Let's think of how we could be Mechazik Klal Yisrael. And if our Kapitel Tehillim could be Mechazik Klal Yisrael, it should be with extra Kavanah.